This morning we talk about voice theater in Woodstock, New York, creating new productions and exploring relevant dimensions of classic works. They join us today to talk about their spring reading series at the Golden Notebook on May 3rd, 10th, and 17th at 7 p.m. They'll also tell us about voice theater refugee program with high school students and undocumented, unaccompanied refugee kids aged 12 to 17. We have a lot to talk about. So we have three wonderful people to share with us. Shauna Cantor is here. Good morning, Shauna.
Hello.
Wally Carbone is here. Good morning, Wally.
Good morning.
And Marianne DePalma is here as well. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Very nice to have you all here. So let us begin with how ultimately, let's start off with voice theater, what it is and how you came about.
How we came about, it was founded in Paris in the late 80s, and it was founded to bring disparate groups of people together who would normally not be in the same room. The first show was with Palestinian and Israeli women. That was a lot of laughs. Mm-hmm. And we toured that for 5 years and actually had a great time touring that show, bringing social issues into the theater. And it flourished from there. And the last 5 years, we've been in Woodstock, New York.
So why Woodstock? I guess that's probably the obvious question.
Why Woodstock?
Paris, Woodstock, okay.
Well, it's actually been Paris, New York, London, Woodstock. And the reason being Woodstock is because we got thrown out of our space in New York City. Mm. And at that point, I came up to Woodstock, and one of our big donors said, "You deserve a theater in Woodstock." And I said, "Where?" And she said, "The Birdcliff Theater." And I said, "Yes, but it needs so much work." And she said, "Yep, well, we could fix that." And so we did.
All
and
right.
So we renovated the Birdcliff Theater for heating and air conditioning.
All right.
That's
so
why.
That's a good reason. Mm-hmm. And you have a home and doing great work here.
We have a physical home in Woodstock, yes.
Yeah. How long have you had it there?
5 years.
Excellent. So when it comes to the reading series, let's begin with that. What makes up the reading series?
The reading series this year consists of The Shadow Child by Myra Slotnick, The Birth Experiment by Mr. Wally Carbone, and Naomi Reagan's Women's Minion. And all three of those plays have Jewish themes. Shadow Child is about parents who have been in the camps, and Marianne will tell you more about that in a second. And The Birth Experiment is a new play by Wally Carbone that addresses infertility by a Jewish chemist, would you say?
Yeah.
A micro?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Jewish chemist.
And then Women's Minion is by a very well-known novelist called Naomi Reagan, who is really a world-class novelist. She lives in Jerusalem, and she has written a play about a true story of an Orthodox woman who was almost killed by her rabbi husband, and she held it as a secret until it all came flushing out. And the actual woman in Jerusalem came to Naomi Reagan saying, "Please, please write this in the Jerusalem Post." And
yeah.
She did.
All right. So, Wally, let us go to you, because not
okay.
only have you written this, but you're directing
well.
The show that you wrote.
Yeah.
All right. So how did you come to this? How did it come to be? And just expand
all
a
right,
little bit on
all
what
right.
it's
well,
about.
Actually, I originally started as a screenwriter. And so in developing screenplays, you know, you follow a diagram. And with plays, it's a little different. So here I started out with, actually, my mother died about 20 years ago. And she had told me that she would come back and she would haunt me. But she hasn't. So after 20 years, I decided I was going to write this play, and I was going to have my mother be the narrator.
Was there something that she said she would haunt you over? Because my
no.
mother said she would haunt me too, but it was only when my mother passed, she said, because I remember having a conversation shortly before she died, and she said, you know, if you don't stay close to the family, or if you vote Republican, I will come back and haunt you.
No, my
so you didn't have like that.
No,
okay.
No, not at all. But she told me, she said, you know, it's just a gauze I'm walking through. And so for the last 20 years, I've been sort of like calling on her. And I said, well, all right, Mom, you know, you really haven't come back yet. So I decided to put her as the narrator of the play. And she really informed every aspect of this play.
So you think of it then as biographical?
No.
Okay.
Not
so
at all.
So it's just that you've channeled her to be the voice to tell
the
story.
I started out with her, but she turned out to be a very unreliable narrator. she actually lied to me frequently, so I had to follow that.
Yeah. So tell a little bit about the reading series and how it will go down at the
Golden Opal. Well, you know, I'm hoping that like it'll inform me as to where I need to go next with my process here. You know, as my grandson was telling me that he said, Grandpa, why do they spell a playwright W-R-I-G-H-T? And I said, that's because we're sort of like artisans. And in some ways, I feel like I've created a wheel here as a wheelwright, but I'm not really quite sure how that wheel is going to be doing on the road. So that's why a play series like this is so fundamentally important, because I've never had my play done in front of an audience. But it will inform me, and it'll tell me where I need to go next.
And where do you want to go next?
I think a full-fledged production.
To actually produce it.
To actually produce it. Yeah, yeah.
And right now, is it short or is it long? Is it an evening?
Oh, it's a two-hour play.
Oh, okay, great.
I hope you can sit through it.
Oh. I'm sure, and if I can't, your mother is going to haunt me.
I can guarantee that.
Marianne DePalma, you are also directing a reading.
I'm directing two of them, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you're directing the other two?
Yes.
All right. So tell us about both of them. We got a little bit from Shauna, but tell us a little bit about them. Oh, what are the dates first? Wait, do you have the first one?
I have the first one on May 3rd.
Yep.
And the third one on May 17th.
Okay. So on May 3rd, you'll be doing what?
On May 3rd, I'll be doing Shadow Child. And I don't know if it's the same one Wally was talking about, but his grandson is the Shadow Child in the play reading.
He's as cute as
so. Oh, he's wonderful. As far as I know so far. Anyway.
All right.
No, he's going to be great. And Shadow, you know, I've had various different backgrounds in theater, and no matter where I go, I can't help but get involved again. And since I've found voice theater, I've been working with Shauna, and I'm so happy because it's the most profound, wonderful experience of theater around where I'm living. And so I got wind of the reading series, and I've been looking at some different things. And besides the world of theater, I'm all about family, and I'm all about family issues. And when I saw Shadow Child, I thought this would be a wonderful story to tell. And everyone I've cast in it who has looked at it, this one and the other one, has just been so moved by the story of this child who was lost by his parents in internment camps in the Holocaust. And then later on, when they're back in Brooklyn, they have a daughter who knows nothing about what went on in the past, but she finds out a little bit about it, and she's very Americanized. And you tell the story of how these people were affected by all that, but they try to learn from it and move on. And it's just a wonderful story.
So that's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 17th. On the 17th, the last one.
Women's Minion, oh my goodness. This one even more so. I mean, being in and around Woodstock, I'm involved with a lot of women's activists, and we work on things that happen. And you know, I could say I'm one of the Me Too people. So when I looked at this and saw how compelling an issue this was about how women are treated, especially in groups of people where there's such a patriarchy and men are superior and women can't seem to get past that. You know, they try as they might, but then they succumb and then they fight. This one really tells a story about that, about woman who is abused and the women who come to her aid and try as best they can to help her get back some respect.
So how does this fit into your overall, the overall mission of what you want to do?
I think, you know, bringing new plays to the community is really important, and involving the community in the process of the play. You know, a couple of years ago we did a reading of a play called End Days, and we asked the audience, do you think you'd like to see the finished product? And they said yes, and we ended up producing it. And that was really an important process for us to go through. And, you know, it's healthy for people to see the very beginning of a play and then how it ends up. And, you know, so there's part of the creative process in that, as well as for the actors and the director and the playwright and all of that. So it's part of something that we strongly believe in.
Talk to me a little bit about the cast and how you're working. Is there a rep company, or you have different people, or how's this working?
I would say that there's a nucleus of actors in New York City and also in Woodstock, and then we bring in new people all the time. So that's...
Rep or a nucleus?
It's both. It's both,
yes.
Joe.
All right.
It's a rep nuke.
Now, we're I have less than a minute, but I don't want... I also want to talk about the anti-bullying workshop and the refugee program.
Right.
This goes through May 30th. What's going on?
What's going on is we go into the Children's Home of Kingston and work with undocumented, unaccompanied refugee kids aged 12 to 17, as Joe said earlier. And these are kids who have run for their lives from gangs in Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. They get arrested at the Texas-Mexican border. They're shipped to one of 265 centers around America, and there they await sponsorship. And what we do with them is we go in, we play theater games, we do voice work, we do improv, we have a lot of fun, and we also ask them to write monologues about why they had to leave their homes. We then take them into, this year we're going into Kingston High School and BOCES, Hudson Valley Pathways Academy, and we bring them into these high schools and they read their monologues to the American students, whilst the American students all the while have been writing monologues about their definition of home. So the kids share their monologues. And what's so wonderful about this program is we create a bridge for them to be in the same room and for all kinds of assumptions to be dispelled into the water below the bridge.
Mm.
And it's a very beautiful thing.
Well, you can find out more information about all the great work, including that program, as well as the readings that are going on at the Golden Notebook on May 3rd, 10th, and 17th at 7 o'clock, by going to their website. It's voicetheater.org, voicetheater.org. Shauna, Wally, Marianne, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. Have a beautiful weekend.
You too.
Thank you,
Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.